Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Nematicos. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich, and this morning's episode is entitled Jesus the Healer of Lies Twisted by Sin. I'm going to begin reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And, as was his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the scroll, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." This was the first message, that is the first public message of Jesus in his own hometown that has been recorded for us. Significant that we can note in verse 18 the powerful messianic consciousness of Jesus, or Jesus. This verse is significant for us because here we have encapsulated the ministry, that is the public ministry of Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. It's of course the appropriate starting place. The Spirit of the Lord is at work in the life of Jesus. We know that Jesus understood fully who he was and divine mission. And so please note carefully what this verse has for us. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he, and note that the Spirit of God is not referred to as a force. We have a personal pronoun. He hath anointed me. And in the manuscripts that we have available, they all use pronoun he. The Holy Spirit is never referred to as an impersonal force of God. He is personality. Because he hath anointed me, from the word creo, which means to pour over, anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, that is, to the oppressed, to the disillusioned ones. He hath sent me to heal. So we have a word that points to the specific, the specifically points to the healing ministry of Jesus. He is the divine physician. He is the divine physician who knows and who understands from the perspective of the Old Testament, the unitary nature of persons. Jesus never saw persons as soma and psyche or body and soul. He understood that persons are unitary beings. We are body, soul, or we are psyche, soma, in a unitary manner. Jesus understood that what goes on in the soul is manifested in the body or in what we call the physical realm. But there was not this understanding in ancient Hebrew cosmology. And so, therefore, Jesus did not have the understanding that we have today of persons as material beings. We would do well to go back and to understand Hebrew cosmology, because we would be able to understand ourselves a lot better. And Jesus said here, as he read the scripture, he hath sent me, speaking of the Pater or the Father, he hath sent me to heal the those who are shattered in heart, those who have been fragmented in life by circumstance, by events, those who have been fragmented by decisions that they have made themselves, and events and situations and circumstances that in which others abused them or impacted their lives in a negative manner. To preach deliverance to the captive. And here the word deliverance, it should really be forgiveness, to preach forgiveness to the captives. Now, this word captive is very important because it means those taken at the point of a snare. So the root of this word, I should say, means those who are taken in war, taken at the point of a sphere. I love the fact of the intensity of the language that is used. Not mere adjectives as or superlatives as descriptors to speak his ministry, but words that show that God knows intimately those things that ravage human life. God knows the terrible reality of sin in a manner that we cannot comprehend. There is that part of us that loves to hide from the terrible too muchness of sin. There's a part of us that wants to deny the terrible too muchness of sin. And so we may pretend, we may deny, we may tell ourselves lies about the reality of sin. But God does not. He is the God, according to the book of Titus, chapter 1, he is the God who cannot lie. The divine essence cannot lie to himself. Pseudos, or that which is false, is not intrinsic to eternity or to the divine nature. Pseudos, or that which is false, is indigenous to the cosmic realm or to this cosmos. And so God has perfect understanding of the human condition. We cannot imagine the magnitude of the depravity, the magnitude of the consequences of sin. One of the most important words in the Greek New Testament is the word skotia, which is translated as darkness. And it means the consequences of sin. Individuals who are in darkness are living out the consequences of sin in their lives. So, and then he goes on, and recovering of sight to the blind, those blinded by sin, to set at liberty or to sit in liberty, or to literally to sit in forgiveness, to sit within the sphere of forgiveness, then there are bruised. Now, those who have been crushed by life. Such is the ministry of Jesus. Now, when we turn to Luke chapter 13, beginning at verse 10, we have a case study. We have a very powerful case study of an individual whose life has been gnarled. We have a case study of an individual whose life has been twisted and bound up by sin. So, we define sin as want or lack of conformity to the character of God, whether in act, disposition, or state. Now, the Bible uses the term sinner in the Greek New Testament, which is the word hamathos. It is an adjective, and it is an adjective that describes that speaks behavior. Hamartos is one who practices sin. Another word, hamartino, means one who keeps missing the mark in his relationship to God. Matthew 27:4, 1 Timothy 5:20. Hamartia means willful and intentional sin. Hebrews 10:26-29. And death, that is the physical death, which is found in Acts 5:1-11 and 1 Corinthians 11:30. Hamartia means willful and intentional sin. The Bible tells us that for those who know not to practice, or those who know to do right and do not practice what is right, to them it is sin. So here's a case study that begins in Luke chapter 13, verse 10. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. So, notice in verses 11-13, they state the physical and emotional state of this person. Notice what has gone on in her life. verse 11. And behold, there was a woman, or there kept on being a woman, which had a spirit of infirmity. The word here for infirmity, this spirit of infirmity means a weakness of a whole person. This is a comprehensive term that is used in particular case studies in the gospel documents. It is also used in Luke, and this word means to be strengthless or without strength. So he had been in this condition for 18 years. Was of course that would be defined as a chronic condition. She was bowed together. She was bowed together. And this is a This is a present active participle. She was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And so this word bow together in the Greek means exactly that. It means to bend together. And this is a medical term for curvature of spine. And she could in no wise unbend or rise up or lift herself up. This was her normative state. This was her life. She was bowed together. Verse 12. And when Jesus saw her, that is, he observed her. He observed her condition. He observed her in particular. Called and said unto her, woman, that is, to this particular individual, woman, gune, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. The verb loosed is a perfect indicative. It is from apoluo, which means to release or to loose. John uses the word luo in Revelation chapter 1, and John says that through the blood of Christ, we have been loosed from our sin. Jesus calls to this in this heinous spiritual condition, because this is a spiritual condition. But we see the physical condition, and we say that this was merely a physical, genetic situation or condition. This was an unfortunate circumstance or situation, but we limit her estate to physical. But Jesus saw something much more. Notice in verse 11, we read that she had a spirit of infirmity. Then we read, ... and was bowed together. The spirit of infirmity is primary. The spirit of infirmity is the causal factor. The result, physically or visibly, is the being bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. Jesus saw her comprehensively, as he sees you and I comprehensively. He sees the whole person. He sees us holistically. The wonderful element of the healing ministry of Jesus persons who observe holistically and comprehensively. Nothing, no aspect of the individual was left out of the differential diagnosis of Jesus. Saw. He did not approach individuals with a pre-planned, a pre-written recipe as to how he would see that particular individual. There was no pre-written algorithm that specified treatment. Jesus saw persons in a unique manner, as he still sees persons today. Uniqueness, the uniqueness of their situation. He sees a unique way in which life has impacted all of us, either through what we, our own decisions, or decisions of others imposed upon us. He sees the need. Verse 12, when Jesus saw her, he called and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. Notice Jesus did not say, woman, you are loosed from being bound together. He looks at the primary, causal factor of her condition. Jesus said, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. Luke records in verse 11, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity. Nothing is hidden from Jesus. And he says to her, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. Here is a picture of the human condition. The human condition is one of a great spiritual infirmity or spirit of infirmity brought on through sin. Is never passive. Sin is always active. Sin is always seeking to undo, to bring in ruin, to create a scandal, to create unrest. Sin makes it so that the individual has no peace in his heart. And so sin ravages the soul, the life. God understands the ontology of sin and what it does, and how sin powerfully impacts and shapes the minds of individuals around darkness. Sin can powerfully impact and shape the minds of individuals around evil, around bitterness, around self-hate, around revenge motivation. Sin powerfully shapes and transforms our very nervous systems, our brain. Jesus knows this, and so Jesus can come in and loose us from our particular spirit of infirmity. Maybe our particular spirit of infirmity is a failure to forgive. And so our nervous system has been built around unforgiveness and bitterness and resentment, self-hate. And so we think, I cannot change, or we say, I will not change, or we fold our arms, or we clench our jaws. TMJ. Or we fail to forgive, and we release copious amount of cortisol into our bodies to compromise our arterial walls. And so the spiritual condition of unforgiveness and hate courses through our body in the form of cortisol, which compromises our bodies and begins to break down and compromise the immune system. Because we have decided to oppose ourselves. These mental attitudes undo us. We oppose ourselves. But we think, and for us this is counterintuitive, Jesus wants to loose us from our condition, from our state. What was normative for this woman for 18 years, Jesus has now taken away and given her a brand new life. And notice, verse 13, and he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight. She was able to lift herself up. And the first thing she did was to glorify God. She glorified God, who had reversed her abnormal, normative condition or state. She had been released. She had been loose this morning. The power of God is available to you to unloose you, to loose you from your estate that is outside of the will of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not die, but have eternal life. This morning you can have eternal life with Christ Jesus. Please read 1 Corinthians 15, Paul's great statement on the gospel. God is here right now. God is saving. God is blessing. God is releasing. God is renewing. God is giving hope. God is bringing brand new awareness. God is setting people free today. You can be set free today from that which has been twisted in your life by sin, the ruin that sin has brought. Sin is real. Do not let anyone tell you that sin is not real. You see the reality of sin around us every day. There are cemeteries, there are hospitals, there are hospices where people are dying, there are hospitals where people have been injured physically. People speak therapists because they're hurt. Someone has sinned against them in a heinous manner, or they may have sinned against themselves. But these terms are not used. They are used, however, in the Word of God, because the Word of God is about complete truth. God looks at us holistically, not politically, not merely psychologically. God looks at us from the position of love. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. Have a wonderful day. God bless you.